We have a guest speaker today. He is not from far away. He is not a full-time minister, but he is a father, and his own father went to be with the Lord in the last few months. And so, through all of this, he has had the Lord deal in him and work some things in him. And as he shared these 2 or 3 months back, I said, what better day than Father's Day to share these things? So I introduce to you someone who most of you already know, Jason Marshall.
Don't applaud for me, please. As Amy's mentioned a few months ago, God gave me the opportunity to testify about one way his love manifested itself in my life. Most of you know, on February 26th of this year, my father passed away. He had a long battle with cancer. God called me to honor both God himself and my father by speaking at the celebration service of his life. For me, preparing those remarks in the days between when he passed and the actual service was one of the hardest things I ever did. I was getting up early in the morning, and I was either in a bedroom or in the kitchen, and I was praying and thinking and writing, sometimes sobbing. And I realized at that point what grief really was. I found at times I wasn't sad or angry. I was just experiencing the emotion of grief. I had never lost anyone close. God really used that time in my life and the preparation of those remarks to help bring healing to my soul about my dad's passing. The service ended up being a phenomenal celebration of life. It was one of the best church services I've ever been to, and definitely the best funeral I've ever been to. Through the fervent prayers of several Christian brothers, God gave me the ability to stand up on the stage that day and the strength to deliver those remarks in a way that brought both God and my father honor. So this morning, I've adapted those remarks to kind of give to you and on this Father's Day occasion. Hopefully, this testimony of what God did in my life through my dad will speak to you all, and you'll find it beneficial. My dad actually did some professional speaking later on in life. That was his gig. It's not mine, so bear with me as we go through this. And they say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, so I'm going to attempt to give these remarks the way my dad would have. And if that's the case, I've already messed up because he would have started with a story. My dad was a business, and he traveled a lot, and he was like one of those million-mile-over-medallion people, and he could go to the special clubs in the airports, you know. And this one trip, he had a long way over in an airport, and he'd gone to the little store in the airport and got a newspaper, and for whatever reason that day, he had a craving for a Nestle Crunch Bar. We got a Nestle Crunch Bar. He goes into the club and he sits down, puts his stuff down, he's picking up his paper. Not long later, somebody else walks into the club and sits down in the chair next to him on the other side of the table. And Dad's sitting there, and all of a sudden he hears this noise and he looks over, and this guy has reached down and opened up his Nestle Crunch Bar, opened the package, broken off a piece, and proceeded to eat it. And my dad's kind of, what is he doing? He's like, well, maybe he thought it was a perk of the club. He didn't realize it was actually my candy bar, so I'll be cool and calm. I won't say anything. And Dad reaches over there, picks up the candy bar, breaks off a piece, puts it down on the table, eats the piece, and says, that should settle it. A few moments go by, and sure enough, the guy reaches over, picks up the candy bar again, breaks off a piece, and eats it. And Dad's like, what's going on? What is this guy thinking about? So my dad proceeds to do the same thing. He reaches over and takes a piece. A few moments later, the guy goes over and takes the last piece of the candy bar, gets up and walks away. And my dad, he's just beside himself. He says, I cannot believe this guy just sat there and ate my Nestle Crunch Bar. Time came for his flight. He gets up, goes down to the gate, gets onto the airplane. He's sitting down in his thing, and he's in first class. The lady said, hey, can I take your jacket? He said, oh, yeah, but let me get my reading glasses. And he reaches in his coat pocket and pulls out his Nestle Crunch Bar. I asked my dad if that was true or if it was a story, or if it was a true story, and he goes, yeah, it was a story. So, well, no, I don't know, but that's the story my dad used to tell. I asked the people that day at the funeral to start with a visual aid. I wanted them to think about, to hold out their right hand and look at it and think about the reason they had come to the service that day. And as that reason kind of formulated, to grasp onto that reason and hold on to it. And we were going to come back to that, and I'll come back to that a little bit later today. My dad taught me several things in life, as all fathers do. He taught me how to say y'all, and now all y'all. He taught me how to say West by God, Virginia, and make God a two-syllable word. He taught me always to fall asleep before the snoring man in the room, which was usually my dad. He taught me the proper use of a yellow legal pad, how to use and complete a checklist. He taught me how to plan and make efficient use of my time. He taught me how to enjoy a frozen Reese's peanut butter cup. My dad taught me about basketball, how to shoot a hook shot, and how to use my backside in the post. And I didn't have to go down to the park or play in street games and learn to play dirty, because once I got taller than my dad, I'd go up for a jump shot, he'd grab my shorts, or I'd cut behind him, he'd grab my shirt. So he taught me all those tricks, you know, straight up. He taught me a lot about cars, but none of the normal stuff. I mean, he taught me to parallel park, but he taught me about car phones. Y'all remember those? The big things are actually mounted in the car. He taught me how to drive with my knees. My dad taught me how to talk on the phone, drive with my knees, and take notes on the interstate doing 80. Dad taught me how to change from a suit into a golf outfit when you were late for a tee time while driving 80. He taught me how to switch the driver and the passenger on the interstate while doing 80. That's because he had this thing about efficient use of time, and stopping would just take too much time, so we'll switch on the road as we go. One time, a North Carolina state trooper pulled me over and rolled down my window, and he came up to the window and said, "Son, why are you going so fast?" I'm like, "Well, sir, you see that car in front of me? That's my dad, and if I lose him, I don't know where I'm going." He taught me sayings, his own little proverbs. He taught me to say things like, "Ah, you all going to like this one now." He taught me simply marvelous, which later became his mantra. When everyone asked how he was doing, he always replied, "Absolutely marvelous." He taught me, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. He taught me that sometimes you're less than the best is better than the rest. He taught me just because you know something doesn't mean you have to say it. He taught me sometimes you just got to go with the flow. He taught me that you can please some of the people all the time, and you might even please all of the people some of the time, but you will never, ever please all of the people all of the time. This next one's kind of funny for you all. Years past, I served as the chairman of the Fisher Board here, and we were talking through things and going through different meetings, and that's the point my dad taught me is, "Jason, the greatest man to ever walk this earth couldn't keep 12 people pleased all the time. There is no way you will ever be able to please a roomful." His last one I'll share with you is, he used to say, Book of Chet, chapter 1, verse 1, "Blessed are the flexible, for they shall never be bent out of shape." He taught me how to read and learn, how to pull off a really good Valentine's Day surprise. He taught me how to put things in perspective. One time, my sister Jennifer and I was a teenager. I was taking her to a ball practice, and we were stopped waiting for somebody in front of us to turn. Car hit us doing 50 miles an hour. The lady was looking down, didn't see us, and slammed right into us. And I had to get to a phone because cell phones didn't exist at that time. And finally got him on the phone. "Dad, you've got to come home. What happened?" So I told him the story and finished and still just distraught. Said, "Dad, you've got to come home." And he just calmly asked, "Why?" "Well, Dad, you've got to come home." He said, "Why?" He said, "You just told me you're okay, Jennifer's okay, there's nothing wrong." I'm like, "But Dad, the car." He goes, "Jason, it's just the car. The important things are okay." He taught me to celebrate. At my 16th birthday, when some of my friends wanted to go out and play basketball in the driveway in the pouring rain, he went with us. After catching a king mackerel one time on a deep sea fishing trip, he made sure we went that night, bought charcoal, a portable grill, cooked some of it, and he told everyone that we encountered in that journey of buying that stuff that his boy had caught that fish. When I finally beat him at a game of golf, he had played horrible and I was spot on that day, he made sure we went to the clubhouse and bought an overcoat with the logo of the country club to celebrate, to commemorate the events we'd remember. He taught us how to give, how to bless others extravagantly, to make them say, it's too much. My dad and a business associate ran some Photo One businesses at a time, and they were in, I think it was Gatlinburg, Tennessee there, and real late in the day, this couple comes in, a young man in uniform, woman, and they just been married, and they're having their wedding portrait done. And dad talked to them a little bit about the story, and they ended up giving them the portraits for free, and later they were at dinner, my dad and his business associate, and that same couple walks into dinner. And so dad called the waiter over and said, hey, you see that couple over there? I want you to take care of their meal. And they did, and the couple came up and thanked them and appreciated it. And dad's like, well, what's your plans? He said, oh, we're just going to go back home because he's got to deploy tomorrow, and this is what we're doing. And dad said, all right. He just disappeared. Comes back a little bit later, hands him an envelope and says, you need to leave. When you leave here, you go to this hotel, talk to this person. They've got the wedding room suite available, reserved for you all tonight, and it's all taken care of, and don't worry about it. That was Dad. He was extravagant. Dad taught me how to deal with difficult people, to be open with people, to be genuine, to be real. My dad taught me how to laugh, how to live, and how to love. So on February 26th, as I was flying from here in Norfolk to Houston to Indy Anderson Cancer Center, where my dad was getting treatments, I was journaling about these things Dad had taught me. When I landed, I was rushed right to the hospital room. It was about 9:30 p.m. Central Time, and Vicky hit my dad's wife, my stepmom, and Kelly Reinhardt, a dear family friend, got up and immediately left the room so I could talk to them. I didn't know this, I found out later, but he had taken a turn for the worse in the afternoon, and Kelly Reinhardt especially had been praying specific prayers, praying through scriptures, that my dad would have strength he could hold on until I got there so he could talk to me. When I sat down in the chair next to him, his breathing was slowed and difficult and spaced. I slowly thanked him for some of the things I just mentioned. I told him he still owed me a game of basketball. I told him what every father wants to hear, that, Dad, I'm proud of you. I told him he was a good man, and I told him he was a great pappy. I told him he had lived a good life, and he had done it well. John 10:10, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life, and you may have it to the full. And there is no doubt that he honored that promise to my dad and my dad's life. My dad had lived a full life. As I was sitting there looking at his face, a single tear had formed in his eye. He had heard me. And this was our last talk. A few moments later, I realized my dad's breathing had stopped. My dad had just left the pain and suffering of this world and crossed over into eternal glory. John says that he will live with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. My dad was home. So that day I asked the people of my dad's service to remember that right hand, open that back up and look at the reason they had come to that day. They were there at that time, and I think some of you are here today because God gave you an opportunity to see one of his servants lead like Jesus in your life. They were there because my dad took time with them and listened to them. He was open and genuine with them. He was real with them. He helped them live life and live it to the full. So my challenge to them and to you is to let my dad's life be a reminder to go be the mentor to someone that he was to me and that he was to them, the people who attended that service. To be the influence in someone else's life that he was in theirs. Sons should go talk to their fathers. Fathers should go talk to their sons. And if yours is gone, go find one who needs one, because there are a lot of kids in this world that need a good father figure. Get involved in somebody's life. When you leave here today, honor our dad, and more importantly, honor our Heavenly Father in action and truth by being significant in someone's life today. That was the end of the remarks that day, and as I thought about how to wrap this up for you all here this morning, as I was settling my dad's estate in the week to follow the service, I came across, my dad had lots of paper. I came across one piece of paper, and it's a poem. And it's a poem I'm actually going to read for you now. And the poem is titled, If I Knew. If I knew it would be the last time that I'd see you fall asleep, I would tuck you in more tightly and pray the Lord your soul to keep. If I knew it would be the last time I would see you walk out the door, I would give you a hug and kiss and call you back for one more. If I knew it was the last time I'd hear your voice lifted up in praise, I would videotape each action and word so I could pay them back day after day. If I knew it'd be the last time I could spare an extra minute to stop and say I love you instead of assuming you knew I would do, if I knew it'd be the last time I'd be there to share your day, well, I'm sure you'll have so many more, I can just let this one slip away. For surely there's always tomorrow to make up for an oversight. And we always get a second chance to make everything just right. There will always be another day to say I love you. And certainly there's another chance to say anything I can do. But just in case I might be wrong and today is all I get, I'd like to say how much I love you, and I hope we never forget. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone, young or old alike, and today may be the last chance you get to hold your loved one tight. So if you're waiting for tomorrow, why not do it today? For if tomorrow never comes, you'll surely regret the day that you didn't take the extra time for a smile, a hug, or kiss, and you were too busy to grant someone what turned out to be their last wish. So hold your loved ones close today and whisper in their ear. Tell them how much you love them and that you'll always hold them dear. Take time to say I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, or it's okay. And if tomorrow never comes, you'll have no regrets about today. God gave me an enormous gift in being able to talk to my dad one last time so I didn't have any regrets. God gave me an enormous gift by letting me prepare remarks before his service and being able to deliver them and talk to them. And I challenge you, don't take that for granted. Sons and fathers, don't take those experiences for granted in your life. That's all I have for you this morning. I thank you. Take care.
Jason, how powerful is the example of a godly dad? We see the world and the mess it's in, and we see the politicians talking about how to fix everything, and I just have to say, you know, Lord, if tomorrow morning we woke up, if you gave us a lot more godly moms and dads, we wouldn't need to spend any money. We wouldn't need any federal programs. What difference would it make in the world if we had a lot more godly moms and dads? So dads, keep on keeping on. Be that example. And they're watching. Your kids are watching, of course, and a lot of others are watching as well. And we're being watched all the time. We're being watched both for what we do and say, and then for the things that we maybe neglect to do or say. But it's all having its impact. And we have this day to make a difference.